Good morning, and thank you for listening to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday, which were led by guest pastor Reverend Michael Matheny. We also would like to invite you to be with us in person if you don't have a church home. Our Sunday school is at 9:30, church is at 10:30. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord our God has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us stand together and read our call to worship. Come home to the Lord, for his arms are open wide.
We come to God, who is full of mercy and grace.
When we were lost, he sought us.
When we were far off,
let us worship the Father who rejoices over his children.
Let us praise the God whose love never lets us go.
Let's sing this hymn of praise. Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, for you are kind, patient, and full of compassion. When we wander, you seek us. When we turn back, you receive us with joy. Father, hear us in this time of worship, and remind us again of your unfailing love. Teach us to trust in your grace, to repent with humble hearts, and to rejoice in the mercy you freely give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Matheny leads our children's time.
Well, good morning. This is the first time that I've ever been to California and to this church and to see you. You're even better looking than what I imagined. That is great. And you know what? I would like to learn your names. And of course, that's going to be kind of hard with a large group. But I want you to help me. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want you all to just yell out your first name, okay? So that I can hear it, all right? One, two, three.
Alexander!
Okay, well, I didn't quite get all those names, but that's really. And did you know names are important? Sometimes we don't realize it, but gosh, how would we know one another if we didn't know someone's name? And I know that when, before you were born, your parents thought a lot about what they were going to, what your name you were going to have. And is anyone here named after someone in the family? Oh. Who's you named after? Grandmother. Great. You? Your dad? Uh-huh. So, and you? Your mom? Grandma. Oh, good. So that's your...
And someone's in my school.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he's in second grade just like me.
Oh, yeah. So names are really important, because if you didn't have a name and you went to school or something, they would just say, "Hey, you girl, come over here." Or they would say, "Hey, you boy, come over here." Well, how would you know if it was you or someone else? That's because you have a special name. And something I think that you should know is that God knows your name. Like, when you look into the Bible, you can see where it says, God says, "I know your name." Just think, of all the millions of people in the world, God knows your name. And I think that's very special. Before you go down, let's say a little prayer together, shall we? Oh God, thank you that you know our name and that we are very special to you. And we are very thankful for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, kids.
Our bell choir plays special music entitled Resonance. David Gademeyer reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, The Waiting Father.
Today's scripture lessons from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that falls to me. And he divided his living among them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Be quickly and bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came to draw near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, Lo, these many years I've served you and never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him? And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And this is today's scripture lesson.
Wie geht's? That's the only German I know. Maybe sprechen Sie Deutsch. When I moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to begin ministry, there were many European groups in the city of Milwaukee, and they lived kind of in the same neighborhoods, the same, you know, their churches. They spoke in their language, whatever country they were from. It was a wonderful melting pot of people, and I really enjoyed it. I had a tour of California yesterday, get to see the different spots that were around, and I grew up in Southwest Missouri, Springfield, Joplin, and this is my first time I've ever been up in this area. One time I played football, a football game in Jefferson City, but that's the only time I've ever been up in this area, and it's exciting to be here to see you. And I'm sure you're all sitting in the same place you sit every Sunday. And that, I know that always throws the pastor off when he looks out and people are not sitting in the right place or over here or over there. It's upsetting, but it's a joy to see all of you. I love preaching. I've been preaching a long time. I love to share God's word. But to tell you the truth, what I would rather do is to sit down with you as an individual with your favorite beverage or whatever, in your home and have you share with me things that are important to you about your life. What are your hopes and joys and concerns? It's hard to find people who want to listen to you. They're busy with their lives and their concerns, but that's something I've always thought was important and means a lot to me, is to have people share with me their life. Things that maybe they've never shared with anyone before, or people haven't been concerned, but it's something I think is very important. I want to share just for a few minutes what this means to me. I usually speak an hour. I can't help but think about the early Puritans in New England. They didn't have TV or radios or anything. And so the high point of every week was the Sunday morning worship service and the sermon, and it was always an hour long, at least. And they actually had an hourglass by the pulpit that they turned over to show an hour. But it doesn't work in today's world, usually. Somehow I was thinking about, I used to tell a lot of jokes in sermons and things, and sometimes people liked it, sometimes they didn't. But anyway, I was thinking of Joel Osteen, the famous preacher in Houston, Texas. He has the largest church in America. They meet in a former basketball arena. So there's, I don't know how many, 15, 20,000 people are there on Sunday morning. I bet he doesn't shake their hand after this worship service. But anyway, he always starts his service with a joke. If you've ever seen him on TV, you know, he does that. And I'll just share a little one about there was a mother and her son were leaving church on a Sunday morning, and just the two of them. And as they go out the door, shake the pastor's hand, the little boy says, "My father said he's coming to church when the sermons are short and to the point. Do you know when that will be?" Sometimes that's true. But, you know, the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son is one of the best known parables that Jesus told. And not only is it easy to remember because it's actually a story of three people, but it's memorable because of what happens in the story, how it ends. And I would like to say that this parable is all about God's love and his acceptance of sinners and lost people and everyone. And as you hopefully know the story, there's two sons and a father. And the young son, for whatever reason, is very self-centered. He's very selfish. He's, you know, just kind of rebellious. It's just the way he was. And so he decided that he wanted his share of his father's estate and wealth, and he was going to leave. Well, I'm sure the father pleaded with him and tried to reason with him about why he shouldn't leave and all that meant, but the young son, he just wouldn't accept it. So father reluctantly gave him the money, and off he went. And as you know, as you read the story, things were really great for a long time when he had money. And then the money ran out. and he became very poor and destitute. He was in hog pens, feeding hogs and, you know, eating the food that they had. And fortunately, he came to his senses and realized that, here he was with nothing and no future. If he just would go back to his home, maybe his father would accept him, and he could, you know, work somehow at the farm. So he decided to go home, and so he left. And I love how people have described the scene when he finally returns, that they picture the father coming out at the end of the day to the road that leads into his farm, looking out into the fading light, wondering if maybe today is the day his son will come home. And we don't know how many days that he went out there. And finally, one day, in the distance, he sees the shape of an individual coming. And gradually, the person came closer and closer, and he realized it was his son. And the son, not, you know, was so afraid of what was going to happen, so hesitant to come. And so when he finally reached his father, the father runs to him. He runs out to the son and embraces him with tears in his eyes, weeping with joy. And it was just a wonderful thing. And of course, the son, or the other son, he's upset. He's angry. He's resentful. But the father prepares a wonderful feast. He puts the robes on his shoulders, rings on his hands, and they celebrate. Now, why did Jesus tell this parable? What was he trying to show about God? Well, the answer is actually found in the verses that come before this parable. If you go back and look at the beginning of chapter 15, you'll see Jesus tells another parable. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they muttered among themselves. They said, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" As you know, in that particular religious setting, at least among some of the religious community, they never had any contact with non-Jewish people. If a sinner, or, you know, a leper, or anybody like that was unacceptable, were to ever touch them, they had to go home and wash their clothes and themselves. It was just unthinkable that they would ever associate with sinful people or lost people. That was not something that they did. And so he tells another parable about a lost coin, where the person had 10, they lost one, and they search and search. Oh, otherwise, I forgot. Back in the other parable, person had 100 sheep, he loses one, and he searches and searches until he finds it, and he's joyful. And Jesus says, "I'll tell you that in the same way that this person searched and searched for this lost sheep, God rejoices in, he said, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents more than the 99 that they found. And then he tells us the parable of the lost coin where the lady loses the coin. She searches and searches until she finds it. And she rejoices. And Jesus says, in the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so, in this story, the Father is God, and the Son represents all those who are lost or broken in some way. Of course, the Son, the older Son, represents the religious people who were not accepting of lost people, people who weren't like them. Whenever I read the story, I realize that if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. You look at his life, his teaching. And when you do that, you see that Jesus was a person who was always reaching out to everyone that he met. And he liked eating with sinners and prostitutes and people who normally would never be accepted. And he was really criticized for that many times. But it didn't matter to him because this is what God sent him to do, to reach out to people everywhere with God's love and his forgiveness. And I hope you know you're included in this story, that God welcomes you all the time, every day. And even though you might, in some way, turn away, God will never reject you and never forget you and never leave you. He will always seek to reach out and embrace you so that you will be with him in fellowship and in love. And it's a reminder that we're called to reach out to everyone that we see and know where we live or where we travel, that we are representing our wonderful God and our Savior. We are acting on his behalf of wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, we're God in person. And that's a wonderful gift that God has given us to share his love in this way with others. So I hope that when you think about this story, you will remember it's all about God's love and how he embraces us and welcomes us and welcomes everyone to himself, because we are greatly loved and valued by God. The longer I live, the more I realize how great God is and how much he loves us. You know, I love my wife, I love my children and family, but God loves is much greater than even my love, even a human love. It's a perfect love, and it's something that we share every day and as long as we live. Amen.